Good morning, everyone. I'm Zane Richardson. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of A Small World, and I would like to welcome you all to this earnings for the first half of 2025. We'll be live streaming here on Zoom, as you can see. I'll be walking through some accompanying slides to add further detail to our half-year report. We'll be publishing these slides and this recording after this call. Most of the detail will be already covered in the half-year report, which we shared earlier this morning. Though all of those documents will be available on our corporate website, which is www.asmallworldag.com. And just as a matter of housekeeping, participants will be muted for the presentation, and we'll have a short section for questions and answers at the end of the session. Before we get into the details, this is my first earnings call as a Small World CEO, and I wanted to just take a moment to introduce myself. I joined a Small World a couple of months into this reporting period. And I'm thrilled to be leading the business at this critical time in its growth journey. My background, as you may have heard if you joined our annual general meeting call, is for the last 20 years, I've worked with several businesses in the luxury, travel, digital, and lifestyle space. And I've actually been a member of A Small World for the last 2 decades. So I'm very excited to be leading the business and especially into this next chapter of growth. With that, I'll get into it. So today I'll be sharing an overview of the half-year performance in 2025. Given I joined the business just over halfway through the reporting period, I wanted to also take some time to show where I'm focusing the business going forward, and in particular, some of the new areas of emphasis in terms of spearheading growth within the business. I'll then cover the segment reporting for the two segments we have in the business, as well as then moving on to the consolidated financials to give some color to what you will have seen in the half-year report that we shared earlier this morning. And as a last agenda item, I'll be sharing a short update on what we expect for our full-year financials, and we'll close with some Q&A if there are any specific questions. As a new CEO, I wanted to just take a moment to align on my vision and mission for the company and kind of how I'm thinking about the business. In full transparency, what excited me most when the board approached me to lead the business was the opportunity to take a business and a brand which has been around for 20 years and build on its positioning as a trusted source of expertise and a community of luxury travelers. And candidly, supercharge that growth. So, as I said, I've been a member for 20 years. I'm familiar with the business. I recognize the great potential both in our member base, but also in terms of the different products and services that have been built and tested over the years. I've kind of, in full transparency, I recognize that there hasn't always been consistent growth in the business over the years, and it's my role and my mandate to return the business to consistent growth and to build that engine, which will allow the business to fulfill the potential which I know and believe it to have. So I just wanted to take a moment that there is no major change in the positioning or direction of the company in terms of what we stand for and what we're looking to deliver. But what you'll see, and you'll see in the slides as we go through them, is a refocusing specifically around kind of commercial and growth objectives within the business. With that, I'll move on to some highlights from the first half of 2025. So first of all, I wanted to share some of the strong results we saw in the first half of 2025. As you know, at the end of 2024, a new membership model was launched for A Small World, specifically offering a free tier, which would allow members to access certain functions and parts of our platform without a paid element. Members can access with a basic free membership, or they can also be then verified by other members or themselves via a process with our member services team, which will allow them to access more parts of the site, with the ultimate goal, obviously, of moving them up the tiers from our premium memberships and beyond. As a result of the marketing efforts to launch this what we call freemium model, we really have seen a significant growth in our member base. You can see that in the stats on the slide. From the end of the first half of 2024 to June 30th, 2025, the overall member base grew by over 53%. So at the end of the period, our total member base was just shy of 110,000 customers, which is really exciting in terms of having a captive audience to which we can then articulate and share the benefits both of paid membership within A Small World, but also ultimately the other services where we drive the other revenue streams within the business. And speaking of those other businesses and services where we drive revenue, the move into travel services over the last few years, both in terms of members booking their own hotel stays with our A Small World collection business, as well as our travel advisory and management business through A Small World Bespoke Travel, has seen tremendous growth, particularly in the year to June 30th, 2025. As you can see in the slide, we managed within that business from a business where we'd invested initially and was not profit generating, candidly, because as when you launch any business, there's a ramp-up period. What we are really pleased to see is that the profit within that business has grown over 150% year over year. I'll share more as we get further into the presentation. But one of the first areas as I came into this role, as I identified in terms of making sure that the business is positioned for future sustainable growth, was around diversifying our portfolio, both of products but also partners. And so one of the first things that I worked on was with the team to launch a new membership tier called Advantage, which I'll share more in the presentation. And then also from a partner standpoint, we successfully negotiated and recently, outside the period, launched our first new airline partner since 2022. So a lot of exciting growth and change within the business. And I'll be pleased to share more of those key initiatives as we get to the presentation. So those are some of the highlights from the period. And now to kind of the KPI view, as we look at our kind of three key metrics for the business in terms of our total sales, our member growth, and then ultimately our EBITDA for the period. So as you can see in the compared to the previous reporting period, so the second half of 2024, both sales and EBITDA were flat. Important to note, which I will cover in more detail as we get into the presentation, is that the first half of 2024, so the direct comparison period to a year ago, did benefit from several significant one-off items in the period, which contributed significantly to both sales and EBITDA. And so adjusted for those exceptional items, what we would say is our adjusted sales would be flat for the period H1 24 to H1 25. And then on an EBITDA basis, when adjusting for those items, we would have significantly improved EBITDA, which for me, obviously, as a new CEO coming into the business, really underscores the solid level of profitability the business can generate and make sure that we are positioned for that future growth. On the customer and member base side, as you can see here on the slide, we are really pleased to see the results pay off in terms of our overall member growth. One thing to note, and this is an important refocus and re-emphasis, which I'll share more as we get into the key initiatives for the remainder of the year, is that the company had historically focused on growing our member base to a certain extent at all costs. And one of the reasons and rationale for bringing me in to lead the company at this stage was really to focus on commercial opportunities and, as I said, to refocus the business on commercial growth. So there's been great growth on the member base side, but as you can see, it hasn't, while we've had a solid and stable level of profit and EBITDA within the business, even against a lower total sales value, there is still more opportunity here to go of converting that growth in members into ultimately EBITDA. And today I'm going to lay out a couple of the key initiatives that I'm focusing on within the business for the remainder of the year. As I mentioned, and as can be seen in the half-year results, for a few years, the business has been focused somewhat, I would say, internally. So really about growing this Small World member base, which is important. I'm not going to, I want to reiterate that it is important to have a large member base to which you can market other services. What that has meant without the external focus around product partners, distribution, et cetera, has meant that we haven't been able to convert that member growth into sales and to EBITDA, which is again, as we talk about and think about the adjustment of focus now with the business going forward, and as I mentioned around over-reliance on a limited set of partners and products, the impact of this being relatively reliant on this narrow set of partners and products meant that we did see some dampening of sales in the first half of 2025. Specifically, one of our largest selling products is our Prestige membership, which is in partnership with Miles & More from the Lufthansa Group. They made changes to their loyalty program in the first half of 2025, and during that period, because of the concerns around the changes to the loyalty program, we saw a commensurate decline in our sales for that product. That really highlighted to me as a new CEO coming in how critical it is and continues to be for a Small World to diversify our partners and product portfolio. So far as part of this first phase, as I mentioned, in August we launched our first new global airline in over 3 years with Cathay Pacific, both not just as a partner for our miles earning memberships, but also as a co-marketing partner in terms of being able to access Cathay Pacific's global member base as well. We also launched Advantage, which is our new membership tier. Historically, we have had our premium membership, which is priced at $100 per year, and the next paid membership tier started at $5,000 per year or equivalent currency. Clearly, those memberships work for our members who are very interested in acquiring currency and top-tier benefits with different programs at volume. However, as you can understand, that's a huge gap in terms of our product offering. And so we launched Advantage, which is priced at $1,000, which offers us a lower level of currency, but also hotel credits and other status benefits to allow us to offer a product which may appeal to a greater range of our members, which we're now testing. We're starting to see some traction with that product. We're now live a week and a half, and we're starting to see good traction. And we're excited to take those learnings for as we build other products and offering later in the year. You'll hear repeatedly in this presentation and this call around the idea of scale and growth and accelerating scale and growth. So as I mentioned, historically, the sort of scaling aspect of the business had been really focused around the scale and growth of the Small World member base, as you've seen that come through in the results, now at over 100,000 members. However, we need to do a better job of tapping into that and monetizing that member base, which I'll talk about in a moment. But what I also am focused on in the business is really building a portfolio of B2B partners to whom we can sell either on a branded basis or directly sell our branded products to them, or on a white label basis where we can provide benefits, services, et cetera, to their member base. We started to test this part of the business with great success, and we'll be able to share more as part of our full year results, and there'll be a press release when this comes out. But we have now, outside this reporting period, but in the second half of this year, we have now signed a global partnership with a very large financial services business who will be launching a premium card offering think a competitor to an Amex or one of the other major players, and they'll be having multiple paid tiers within that card suite, and a small world will be providing benefits and services at multiple tiers within that on a paid basis, both in terms of the services and benefits we offer, but also this will provide us a great opportunity to acquire qualified members to join a small world as well. So really exciting traction we're gaining in this particular area, and why that's really important to me and to the team and the business is it again means that we can scale what we're doing today very well with an additional sets of customer groups, both externally and then also bringing them into the small world fold. You've heard a little bit about how a small world has been growing our travel business, both from an online standpoint with our small world collection online booking tool, but we've also as of late last year started to add what you would term offline or travel advisors or travel designers to drive higher margin complex trip booking. As you see in the note there, we've doubled our travel advisor team over the first half of 2025. And to be clear, the business model there is a shared commission model. So the scaling element of that particular model means that we are able to add resource and capacity to meet the demand that we're seeing for travel bookings on a shared commission model without adding to our fixed cost. So again, growing this what would sort of traditionally be thought of as an offline model actually allows us to scale in a successful way because again the way the model works is on a shared commission basis, leveraging the existing infrastructure, supplier relations, technology, shared services that we have within the business today. So while we're not going to become a standalone travel agency, it works very well as we think about servicing our high spend members within the ecosystem. And then lastly, which I think is important to note, particularly as you look at where EBITDA has been for the last year and a half to 2 years, is really thinking about how do we ensure the business is operating as efficiently as possible. So that what is always a tension and an important balance to make, how do you invest in growth while also maintaining a level of efficiency? And that's a key focus for me within the business. I've already been through a first round of process in terms of reducing operational expenditure, which wasn't, in my view and in view of my CFO, contributing directly to immediate business results and particularly profit, which has been a good initial set of steps. And so we've cutting out on a full year basis several hundred thousand dollars worth of several hundred thousand Swiss francs worth of operating expenditure. We've reduced our marketing expense to acquire new members, specifically because I believe there's opportunity to cross-sell and drive more value within our existing member base, and I want to make sure that the members that we're bringing in to a small world ultimately have a lifetime value which is significant and justify that initial acquisition cost. So I think back to that point around growth at all cost versus profitable and sustainable growth, that's a slight switch that we're making here and a focus that I'm introducing across the business. Just to talk a little bit about what I mean in terms of adding external members to the business versus thinking about the business holistically. As you know, and as you followed a small world over the years, we have built or acquired a suite of brands and businesses into our ecosystem. This is obviously a visual of that. And look at before I joined the business, when I looked at this slide, and I saw it's complicated, and there's a lot of for the size of company and the revenue and profit we generate, it's quite a complicated ecosystem. So a key learning for me in my short time with the business has been that actually these businesses not only are they separate on a slide, but actually they've been run rather separately and rather independently. And so when I think about operational efficiencies, my focus has been and continues to be how do we bring these businesses together and to accelerate growth on the revenue side, but also find efficiencies on the cost side. Couple of just illustrative examples. Our Small World collection, our Small World bespoke travel business, had been run largely separately. They now sit under a single business leader who leads both our online travel business, but also our offline or travel advisor business. The benefit here is, aside from having a single leader and expert for the for this business, but it allows us to think about the volume that we're driving both in online and offline bookings. So he can go to our supply partners, our hotel partners, and we're able to negotiate higher commissions with and additional benefits with those, for example, large global hotel chains based on that incremental volume. So they're, both that provides us a good way of how do we, for certain members and customers, sometimes they may want a fully designed trip with a travel designer working on every aspect of the trip. Sometimes they know where they're going, and they just want to make sure they're booking the best hotel with the best benefits using our Small World VIP rate, where they get free breakfast included or upgrades. So for that different travel occasion, having those two business units sit together obviously makes a lot of sense, and we're already seeing those revenue and cost synergies. And then historically, we think about from more from a functional standpoint, each business unit and area was largely responsible for its own sales and marketing or sales and business development activities. I've now aggregated the Small World branded businesses and also, for example, World's Finest Clubs into a single business development team. So when somebody is going to speak to a potential partner, say it's a financial services partner, as we have quite a few conversations at the moment, they are able to offer the suite of benefits and services that Small World offers to its members, but also they can propose World's Finest Clubs, our nightlife and dining concierge service, which doesn't sit within the Small World branded services, but is obviously clearly of value to those particular those could be the partner, particular customers. And so we've seen success there, having that coordinated approach to business development. And so we found with particular partners, one area will be of more interest, one will not. But that coordination and centralization of the business development efforts has really allowed us to accelerate the leads and the lead generation we're seeing. And then, more importantly, as I mentioned about adding new qualified members to our ecosystem, continues to be super important, and we'll be continuing to do that on an organic basis, but also using partners. What's also really important, as I mentioned, this idea of simplification or coordination, is in my time with the company so far, I've spent a lot of time talking with members, understanding their history with the business, what they love, where they see improvement. It became very clear to me that members have it, depending on how they first interacted with the business, whether it's on the collection booking side for hotels, or it's via World's Finest Clubs, or it's simply they've been a Small World premium member for 7, 10 longer years. They very rarely have a full or even light understanding of all of our different business units. So that was very clear to me, and that's why I've charged our marketing and member services team with really thinking about how do we do a better job at articulating all of the services and benefits we offer across the ecosystem. So not just a better coordination and, let's say, simplification across the brands and businesses, but how do we effectively think about cross-selling, and how do you cross-sell? Well, you first articulate what the value of the service or the benefit is so that members understand that this is something that they may not know that we offer and I know this is the case for many members. They don't know that we offer a bespoke travel agency if they have a honeymoon to book, et cetera. So while they've paid for a membership and they engage on the platform, the fact that we could book a once-in-a-lifetime trip for them and make commissions from that, which is all upside to us, is a clear opportunity for the business, and how we cross-sell is really important within the business. So we have multiple work streams underway, both around member engagement, member education, and also starting to track members in their journey across the platform. And then, as I mentioned, our services and how we cross-sell the services across our member base is super important. Since this business is now under a single leader, and his responsibility is for really accelerating travel bookings across online and offline, both within our existing member base, but also via partners, because we do have, whether it's affiliate partners or whether it's classic B2B partners that offer travel booking to their members with our curated a set of hotels with dedicated benefits for Small World members. And so what I would say is, as we're hearing in the news, mass travel, airlines, mid-scale hotel brands are seeing an impact in terms of as a result of global economic and political crises around the world, whether it's tariffs, restrictions, etc. One thing I would say, which is really pleasing to see, and gives me comfort for the remainder of this year and into next, is that we are seeing no dampening of demand for our luxury travel services. So, as an example, I'll share a little bit more. But as an example, this is some data that has been shared. I know on previous earnings calls, just looking at how have we seen hotel bookings across our portfolio, and as a reminder, we are not an Expedia, we are not a Booking.com. We don't and will never offer the entire market of hotels in a particular destination. Members come to us for two things. One, we've pre-curated a set of hotels that we know to be the best hotels in a destination. And number two, we've negotiated specific benefits for our members at those hotels. So what that means is we are able to concentrate volume with the hotels we consider the best in those destinations. So easier customer experience drives better revenue for the partner and ultimately better commissions for us. And so what that's meant is we've continued to see growth. So if we look at the first half of 2024 compared to the first half of 2025, our booking volume has increased by 25%. And then we look at stays, obviously, because bookings in the quarter don't necessarily happen. I'm sorry, bookings in the half year don't necessarily actually, the stays don't occur in the half year. We've seen the value of stays first half of 2024 to first half 2025 increased by nearly a third, which is really, really exciting. This is, as I mentioned, the concept of this business is around curation. So the team are constantly adding new hotels, and we added 123 hotels during the first half of the year, and now we have about 1,700 hotels. But also at the same time, we're also evaluating which hotels are not selling for whatever reason, and we remove them. It's not a case of adding every hotel out there just for the sake of it being there. That's not our positioning, and that's not our why members use us. And in the same way, if you go on a Booking.com or an Expedia, you might want every hotel plus apartment plus et cetera in the market. That's not what our members come to us for, and that continuous sort of curation to see what based on demand is important. I mentioned that we've increased our travel advisory team, doubled them in the first half of the year, which has also allowed us to increase our profit. And to be clear, that the bookings that they've been making in the first half of this year, we the, those the, that travel and those stays have not occurred yet. So we can the what the value or the revenue and profit from those particular travel advisors will start to really contribute meaningfully from the second half of 2025 and beyond, just because of the delay between booking and stay windows. And just for context, we're adding advisors in key source markets, and by that I mean in the UK, in other markets where we know that there's strong demand for global luxury and international travel, where we can have those individuals hit the ground running, so to speak, but create that virtuous flywheel of allowing us to drive greater volume to our supply partners and our hotel partners, which also helps us increase our commissions. So for every booking that we make, not only are we securing additional bookings, we're also securing a higher commission at for each of those individual bookings. So will continue to be a focus for the business going forward. Now, moving to our reporting by segment. As you know, we have two kind of core segments within the business, and we'll start first with our subscriptions business. As I mentioned earlier in the presentation, we did see a decrease specifically in one membership or subscription product that we have with one particular airline partner. And as I mentioned, we obviously didn't foresee and did not look for a decrease in revenue for that particular product, but it was as a result of changes that that particular airline made to their loyalty program, which had the knock-on effect of dampening demand for our membership product. Again, highlighting to me the importance of having a more diverse pool of partners and membership products. So as I say, we had a lower volume of memberships on the revenue side, but fortunately, we were able to make up that volume with other membership products with other partners that we had on offer for those particular members. And while sales were lower, we did maintain our EBITDA for the half year and actually improved our margin slightly on an on a, on an on that basis. EBITDA remained stable, as I said, because of the, we recognize our EBITDA from our membership sales on a 12-month basis. So while the sales were dampened, we maintained EBITDA, and now is the time we're going to continue to, in the second half of the year, increase sales both of that existing partner, but also with the new partners that we've added to the business. Moving across to our services business. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, the first half of 2024 did benefit from some significant one-off revenue and direct profit impact. So there was a series of events which were very low margin, which the business facilitated in the first half of 2024. Obviously took was great from a revenue standpoint, which is what supported that 4.1 in the first half of 2024. However, ultimately these were relatively low profitability, and so we decided to not continue those into 2025 and focus on the core business. On the EBITDA side, similarly, we had the result of a legal case in the UAE in relation to a project that we were working on for a luxury hospitality project. There was a successful resolution of that case in 2024, which meant a over $500,000 successful revenue and profit impact in the first half of 2024, and also a delayed impact to some of those costs into 2025. So again, on an adjusted basis, the services business would most likely have been flat to slightly better this year. But as again, the key message here is while the headline numbers show a dramatic change, net of these one-off or exceptional items, the underlying business is still profit producing, and we are still seeing, as I said, strong growth, particularly within the travel services part of the business. Now to move on to the consolidated financials and to discuss in more detail. As I've mentioned, the consolidated the income statement within the financials show that decline in revenue and EBITDA that we mentioned. So as I said, the decline in sales was largely attributed to two key areas. One, the event-related activity that was carried out in the first half of 2024, which produced very low margin on a gross basis, but and potentially what was looking like no margin when you adjust for the overheads required to deliver that particular series of events. But then also on an EBITDA basis, the first half of 2024 saw the significant results from the payment. Oh, sorry, from not the payment, from the award as a result of the legal case from the previous year. A couple of other one-off items to note. Obviously, I joined the business late in the reporting period, so there were some increased one-off costs related to the transition from my predecessor, both from a recruitment basis, but also some overlapping salary costs. So I would say then in 2025, we probably saw between 150 and 200K's worth of one-off costs, which would obviously depressed EBITDA for the first half of the year. And again, looking at some of the one-offs from 2024, what I would say is on a comparative basis, EBITDA is actually in a stronger place because of the when you adjust for the for those one-off adjustments. Looking now to our balance sheet, our cash position decreased through the half year, largely because we've continued to reduce our liabilities, specifically our debt obligations, which I'll talk to in a little bit as we get into the liabilities side of the balance sheet. We reduced our receivables, obviously, because the settlement of the legal dispute we were able to realize in the first half of first half of 2025. But then we did increase Some are on the prepayment side because, as I mentioned earlier in the presentation, we're seeing good growth in our travel advisory business, which means we are seeing some prepayments from customers as it relates to the higher demand for travel that will occur later in the year, so which we expect to obviously convert that into cash and ultimately profit in the second half of the year. On the liability side of the balance sheet, we had lower liabilities commensurate with some of our changes in sales on certain membership types. We also reduced, as you can see here, our total liabilities significantly in the quarter by around 8%. With this reduction in the first half of 2025, that will translate to a saving in interest costs through the full year of 2025 of around 27%. So to reiterate, obviously, our commitment here is to continue to reduce our debt obligations to minimize our operating expense, particularly financial expense, to service that debt. And we're continuing on a solid path towards that goal. The 400K, as you see there, was one of those tranches of payment to reduce that debt obligation. And as you can see, the total balance sheet reduced slightly in the period, largely because of that reduction in that debt liability. Looking now to our cash flow, we have a positive net result, as you can see there, even net of those one-off items that I talked about previously, both the elevated inputs to 2024, but more importantly, the one-off items we talked about within 2025, specifically related to costs that were delayed from 2024, but then also one-off costs related to the CEO changeover. One thing to note that we have improved our operating cash flow position relative to 2025, which gives me comfort and also is a focus for me within the business to move the business towards a obviously positive cash flow. There is some seasonality in here, to be clear, is we see the first half of the year because of lots of payments from strong sales within the second half of the year. We do see typically lower cash flows in the first half of the year, so that will as travel happens and we receive commissions and payments, as other thing, as we make sales in the second half of the year, we do expect our cash flow position to improve even further in the second half of the year. So and then lastly, as you see, some of the outflows as it relates to some of our financing costs as well as our financial liabilities. While we do have a lower cash position, we do ultimately have we have been successful at lowering our financial obligations, as I said, which does reduce our debt obligations and our interest costs for the year. With that, I will move to our outlook for the full year 2025. So as you've heard through this conversation, the first half of 2024 and then ultimately the full year is somewhat of a refocusing or in many senses a turnaround year. As I've started to get to know our teams and our business units and our partners, I know we have the capabilities and the passion to profitably deliver our products and services. And so this is what we're seeing is really a refocus in our ability to be profitable as we do it. So first thing to note is we are reducing our guidance in terms of our top line, our total sales. Total sales we expect to be potentially a few percentage points between below 2024. Again, this will in 2025 we do not have a series of one-off revenue generating activities that will not translate to profit. So this 18 to 20 million will be is going to be based on profitable profit generating activities in the year. Our membership growth will continue to accelerate. As I say, first half of the year we grew over 50%. We expect on a full year basis to grow anywhere between 35 to 40%, again, with a focus on bringing in members that are going to deliver high lifetime value to the business, members that are affluent, interested in travel, and to whom we can cross-sell our different services and benefits to. We are reducing our guidance for EBITDA. As you've heard today, our 2024 EBITDA did benefit from some comparatively high one-off impact. So particularly around those around all-in 700,000 that came across the full year in terms of the legal dispute that was settled in 2024. So on a full year basis, we expect in 2025 to come at somewhere just under 1 million to 1.1 1.15 million for the full year. That is lower than previously guided in the March 2025 full year earnings for 2024. But what I would say is this is an investment year for the business, and I see tremendous growth and tremendous profit generating capability within the business. So while we are forecasting slightly lower EBITDA, this is with a view of investment to drive that growth into future years. With that concludes the sort of core elements of the presentation as it relates to context around our half year earnings. I will stop sharing and look for any questions that have popped up. I'll unmute. Give it one more moment. As I say, if there are any questions subsequent to this call, and on further reflection of our half year report, do feel free to reach out to us directly. Happy to share more directly or to give you more context or color or any of the items that are in the that were in the earnings report. Okay, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate everybody's time for joining us this morning, and look forward to catching up with you on our next call. Thank you.